What about the remains of that occupant? Whatever happened? Were you able to track that?
That's a whole other story. Back in 1973, when I began to investigate this story, we used a metal detector and at the little gravesite there, because according to the newspaper articles and according to story and according to a state historical marker, which is on the Aurora Cemetery, it said the pilot was buried in the cemetery. And back in 73, there was actually a little headstone that looked like carved on it an inverted V with little circles inside, on like a almost like a saucer on its side,
right,
with portholes. And we found traces of, or found bits of metal down in this grave, and I wrote a story saying perhaps they should exhume the grave, which is a fairly common practice, and then we'd know what was in that grave. Well, as soon as that story came out, the Cemetery Association hired a lawyer who threatened to sue anybody, to get an injunction against anybody that wanted to dig in the cemetery, and they even put a police guard on the cemetery for about 2 weeks. Well, the very night after they pulled the police guard off, the headstone went missing and has not been seen since.
Aww.
And within a month or two, I went back up there with the aviation writer for a Dallas newspaper, and we put the metal detector over the grave, and there was no metal.
They cleaned it out.
And I said, but the grave obviously had not been disturbed. I mean, you know, totally disinterred. So I said, what happened here? And we got our hands and knees, and we found three little holes, one up near the headstone and two near the center of the grave, right at the exact location where we had found metal, you know, using a metal detector.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the aviation writer for the now defunct Dallas Times Herald, I said, well, who do you think did this? Do you think UFO researchers did this? And he said, no, they wouldn't break the law. And I have to agree with him. I said, well, who do you think did this? And he said, I think the government did this.
Oh, jeez.
And I have now gotten confirmation of that, because it seems in the 80s, I recently ran across a fellow over there who found a very strange-looking medallion-type thing that he thinks may have come from the spaceship crash. And he used a metal detector, and he said while he was doing this in the mid to late 80s, that there were government agents in the cemetery with metal detectors. And he said, his quote was, I'll never forget this, he said, their metal detectors made my metal detector look like a child's toy. You know,
yep.
So we've got government agents still crawling around the Aurora Cemetery in the 80s. We know somebody took the metal in the 70s. And I've also spoke to a woman who said, told me that she had grown up across the street from the cemetery, and that she remembered that there had been government agents in the cemetery. And I said, oh, yeah, I think I know when that was. That was about 1973, thinking about when the metal was missing. And she said, no, this was when I was a little girl in the 50s.
So she remembers that.
Government agents in the 50s, the 70s, the 80s, they're just down here picking up every little thing they can. And, of course, you know, I'm sure you've heard the question many times, well, you know, if all this is going on, where's the evidence? Well, they're taking up all the evidence.
It's gone.
It's gone.
All the remains. You can't do DNA on this thing.
Nope.
That would have been something.
It really would have been. So it's real frustrating, because just about the time I think I've gotten some real solid proof, well, you know, it somehow it goes away.
What are the possibilities that some inventor was playing around with an airship, building something maybe in his barn, and
well,
somehow was able to work something?
It's interesting you mention that, because one of the stories from Waxahachie in Ellis County, Texas, talks of a fella who actually saw the thing on the ground, went up and spoke to the crew, and they told him that very story. They told him that, said, don't say anything about this. This is a secret invention that we developed in a lab in New York State, and we decided to take it out for a spin, and it worked so well that we just came on down to Texas. You know? And it's amazing, and yet there's a story right above that where another fella encountered the thing on the ground, and he was told that it came from the North Pole, from a hidden valley of people who had super science or something. But the one I like the best, and I think this may give us a clue to what's going on. Now, keep in mind, this is in the spring of 1897. A railroad track inspector, I found this story in the old Fort Worth Register, which is a forerunner of the newspaper I used to work for, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And he was inspecting track, and it was starting to get dark, so he's about to turn back, head back to the city, when he saw a bright light up ahead, so he went up to investigate and found this large silver cigar-shaped object sitting by the tracks, and this crew was there, and he went up and spoke to them, made no comment about their looks or anything else. I don't know what was going on, but they told him not to say anything about it because they were on their way to bomb Cuba, to bomb Havana.
To bomb? Were they going to drop little tiny hand bombs out?
I don't know, but no, here's the thing that's so startling about that, George, is that the Spanish-American War with Teddy Roosevelt and the San Juan Hill on Cuba didn't start for another year. And that was only after the battleship Maine blew up mysteriously and we blamed it on the Cubans and we launched a war against Cuba. How did these people know we were going to be at war in another year?
Yeah, that is weird, too. Of course, it could have been that this maybe they had some kind of arsenal aboard this craft and it blew up. Who knows what could have happened?
Well, that's true too, except the only living witness that I found back in 1973, a fellow by the name of Charlie Stevens, he said he was about 14 at the time and that he was out that morning doing chores with his father, and he actually saw the thing going over, and he said it was making a funny noise and it was slowly settling to the earth. So it sounds like they had some kind of trouble.
Now, did he, if you recall this is fascinating, did he say it looked like the blimps of nowadays?
He just said it was a large cigar-looking object, and it was silver.
Well, it does look like
a
blimp.
I don't know. You know, some people have speculated that it was some sort of an early dirigible,
mm-hmm.
and yet... according to the historical record, the California Era was the first dirigible flown in the United States, and that was flown the same year as the Wright brothers, years after this happened.
Whatever it was, it's obvious something happened. People
something
saw something.
That's true.
And who knows? Well, now that's 1897. When did the hot air balloons really pop out?
Well,
like the blimps.
First recorded balloon flight, or heavier than air balloon flight. Oh, they had balloons in the war between the states when they would hoist up observers in baskets.
That was a basket type thing, right?
That was a basket thing. But the first one that actually flew under its own power was in 1904.
And again, though, that was more of a basket type balloon. Or more of a blimp type?
No, this was a powered balloon.
Okay.
See, now, I would also say that if I'm recalling my history correctly, I think that there were some powered balloons being flown experimentally in France and in Italy, perhaps back in the late 1800s, but
mm-hmm.
they were not over in this country.
Well, and you think of the kinds of balloons you need today. I mean, look at what Stephen Foster uses whenever he tries his around-the-world balloon trips, his solo trips. I mean, ultimate sophistication now. And,
right.
They obviously didn't have that in those days. So
no.
Whatever this was, it's unfortunate that the remains of this inhabitant have probably have been stolen or they're in some government lab somewhere. But had we been able to get a hold of that, that would have been something.
It really would have, because they could have, you know, with the scientific technology we have today, they could do DNA testing and carbon testing. They could do all kinds of things to tell us exactly what this was and where it came from.
Well, pathologists would have been able to recreate the structure. They would have been able to make a life-size model of it in terms of how high it was, what it might have looked like.
It's, that's true.
Yeah.
I can tell you this, the grave was a very short grave, as though it was about the size of a child.
Yes.
This was not a full-grown human-sized grave.